Shalom Ayudim, Shalom Abnei Noach, Shalom Agoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Ches Betamuz, Tavshinayin He, Parshas Matos Masei, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 14 July 2015, webcasting from the center of civilization marked for destruction by the barbarians of Islam. With the news today, being that the barbarians are winning, I envy historians of the future who will try to understand this generation. I hope some of them note the coincidence of the recent astonishing decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to ordain men marrying men and women marrying women, and the decision in Vienna today to supply Iran with nuclear weapons, the day after the regime presided over massive rallies where the faithful shrieked death to America and burnt the American flag, and the national leaders proudly declared their continuing war of destruction against the United States. There is madness loosed in the world. And the connection between Vienna and that court decision is Israel, where the only religion in ancient history to adamantly reject sodomy was overturned in the U.S. Western civilization begins not with the Greeks and the Romans, but the Hebrews and their culture, which against all odds survived. And this was one reason. The court decision was a trashing of the Bible, which is so basic to American history, and the decision in Vienna to capitulate to this generation's successor to Nazi Germany, i.e. Islamic Iran, where they use religion pretty much like the Nazis used National Socialism to rile up the masses, unify the people with the glue of Jew hatred, while dreaming of conquering the whole world. Heute Deutschland, morgen die ganze Welt, they used to sing. Today Germany, tomorrow the world. And Iran, in this generation, is pretty much in that mold. It's a crusading, totalitarian, anti-Semitic successor to Nazi Germany. Here is the West, once again choosing to bow down before Iran and even participate in its genocidal anti-Jew ambitions. In Orwell's 1984, language is raped and stripped and ripped of meaning and of truth. And here this morning, both Obama and Kerry gave speeches announcing the agreement in Vienna. Later on Fox, I saw the excellent John Bolton say, flat out, both were, quote, absolutely incorrect in what they're saying about the blocking Iran's path to a nuclear bomb. This, of course, absolutely incorrect. Bolton is a former diplomat. It was his polite, euphemistic way of saying both of these men are lying. The two of them were lying in their triumphant sales pitch of what a great accomplishment their American diplomacy has wrought. What came to mind was, as always with this guy, Obama is Fort Hood, and you can keep your doctor. The man is a chronic, habitual, steady-state liar. After Fort Hood, he told the American people, don't believe your eyes and ears. Islam had nothing to do with this workplace violence. As if the spark for that carnage was an argument over who gets to use the copying machine next. This man is, plain and simple, Obama, pathologically unfit for office. And as for John Kerry, he seems to be the same villain today he was when he betrayed his comrades in arms in Vietnam and consorted with the enemy in Paris and made the enemy's case for him against his own country. Here he is again, siding with America's mortal enemy number one. At the Lausanne round of talks last April, observers noted that in the sessions, the United States was playing the role of defense counsel for Iran before the others. Is this not astonishing? Speaking of betrayal, 2 days ago on Sunday, Secretary of State John Kerry, erstwhile solemn altar boy in the Roman Catholic Church, attended Mass at St. Stephen's Cathedral. And one wonders if he wondered, while there, if his paternal grandparents had betrayed the Jewish people there. It is, after all, Vienna's cathedral, and it was there that Theodor Herzl, before he became a Zionist, thought it would be a good idea if all the Jews in the city went to the plaza before the cathedral to get baptized. That would put an end to anti-Semitism, or so he thought for a while before he became a Zionist. One source has it that John Kerry's paternal grandparents who were descendants of Aaron. The name was Cohen. Aaron, the brother of Moses. They apostatized and converted to Roman Catholicism in the year 1900. Well, Theodor Herzl was still alive then, and who knows, maybe they knew each other. Anyway, here was their grandson of those apostates, those apostate Kohanim, praying in St. Stephen's as he prepared for today's celebration with smiles for this agreement, which Senator Lindsey Graham later said on Fox was a death sentence for Israel, where I live. I can't argue with that. The first signs of this spiritual malignancy that culminated today in Vienna, of all places, birthplace of Hitler's megalomaniacal national socialism, are there, however, buried in Obama's first inaugural address, in which he demoted the role of the Jews in America behind that of the Muslims, and in the next sentence spoke of his outreach to the Muslim world for a new beginning. Well, this is where it has led to. Pundits, even the otherwise estimable Charles Krauthammer, the best of the IBJs, see Obama desperate for a legacy achievement, but I disagree. The day after his inaugural speech, his first phone call as President of the United States was to the Jew killer, Mahmoud Abbas, who, like many Muslims, is simply delirious when it comes to history and truth. Obama has had Israel on his mind, therefore, from day one. It has been his number one focus in foreign affairs, and what he got today was what he has wanted since the beginning. He has wanted to unleash Iran, free it from its economic shackles, and permit it legally to make progress toward making an atomic bomb to drop on Israel, God forbid. And that's not my paranoia. That is their publicly broadcast wished-for scenario. Here is Obama getting his wish. That the pro-U.S. Arab states in the region are fit to be tied by his behavior, it means nothing to him. Almost all jihadis today, and he's one of them, look upon every Arab government as not pious enough, which in every generation allows jihadis to justify their hunger for the power and wealth of the regime, using Islam as the excuse to try and topple it. In Obama's eyes, all these pro-Western regimes may be nominally Islamic, but none is so pious that it should not be overthrown. And in any case, Iran is the only country in the region within striking distance of having a bomb to destroy Israel before any other. What this man and his dummy Secretary of State Kerry have done is tear down every U.S. demand of the last few years, tear the sanctions regime down that brought Iran to the table. Every rational person witness to the success of the sanctions would logically want to at least continue them, if not increase them, to hasten an Iranian capitulation. But what Obama did was the exact opposite. He systematically dismantled the squeeze put on Iran. From day one, before being caught red-handed in Lausanne acting like a mouthpiece for Iran, this is what Obama has pursued since he took office. He's on their side, as surely, if only temporarily, Jane Fonda and John Kerry crossed over and joined the enemy in the early 1970s. Obama has been Iran's advocate since he took office. In the cabinet meeting, when President Bill Clinton was boasting of the agreement he had reached with North Korea that would keep that country out of the A-bomb-making business, who in his right mind would think that with such as these maniacal mullahs in Tehran now dominating four countries in the region, it is possible to make an agreement that the Iranians would not try to violate and get around? The UN passed six resolutions in this nuclearization of Iran business, and Iran never paid any attention to any of them, but here are the P5 plus one countries with smiles on their faces celebrating the signing of an agreement with this outlaw regime, these enemies of civilization, the world's number one backer of criminal atrocities called terrorist attacks, as if it will abide by whatever agreement they're celebrating today. This makes of civilization a theater of, if not the absurd, then the mad.
Mekimi me'afardal me'ashpot yarim evyon lehoshivi im nedivim im nedivei amor mi kehashem elokeinu hamagbihil ashavet hamashpili lirot bashamayim uva'aretz meki me'afardal me'ashpot yarim evyon bo'i le'oshivi im nedivim im nedivei amor tini nai 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 da na nai 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 da na nai 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 da nai 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 ti nai na na nai 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 toi da na nai nai mi ke hashem elokeinu Hamagbihil ashavet Hamashpili lirot Hoy bashamayim uva'aretz Hoy mekimi me'afardal me'ashpot Evyon Hoy lehoshivi Im nedivim Im nedivei amor Tiri nai 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 Da na nai 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 Da na nai 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 Da nai 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 Dai dai na dai na na dai da na dai na na dai toi da na dai na dai im ne di vei amor.
One can only imaginatively speculate on the thinking of the Germans and the French and the Brits in these negotiations. For sure, the old hunger for the lucre that new business with Iran will bring, but surely at some level of consciousness, these Europeans must factor into the talks the fact that the Jews are at risk big time. With this agreement, Iran wants the bomb to destroy Israel, and surely every one of these diplomats at the table in Vienna knows this, and that knowledge plays some role in their decision making, their decision to behave as they have. It's an old truism that many Germans will never forgive Israel for Auschwitz. We make them feel guilty. Now, no doubt, as opinion polls in Germany show, imagine the younger the generation, the less connected to the Holocaust they are, which allows them to guiltlessly resume hating Jews, as Germans have in every recorded generation of their Christian history. Likewise, the Brits and the French, for whom this negotiation with Iran may be payback time for making them remember the Holocaust too, and their own guilt. Letting Iran proceed with its diabolical schemes may be an indirect way of getting back at the Jews for all this Holocaust memorial stuff. In other words, how in good conscience can the Germans and the Brits and the French, Germans of all people, sit in discussions with these lunatic Jew haters who do not disguise their evil plans for the Jews without getting up and walking out. This is a very unsettling, disturbing turn of events, and the participation, especially of the Germans, in this farce. I suppose it's inevitable. Every passing day, the Holocaust recedes into the land of inert history, and so it's not surprising that Germans today are returning to their chronic nature. Isn't this a major part of the Tuvia Tenenbaum book, Catch a Jew, which I've not read? I think he tootles around Germany, hiding his Israeli Jewish identity in order to expose just how widespread 1940-style Jew hatred remains alive and well in Deutschland. I still connect it, though, to the madness in the West in general. Over sodomy is a good thing. The inability to know right from wrong in intimate matters, and the inability to look at the face, in the face of Iran, and see just how evil a regime it is, and how dangerous it is. For example, in these negotiations, one topic was Iran's refusal to permit inspections of its facilities by foreigners anytime, any place, and there was an American spokesman, I think last week, arguing for Iran's right to control and retain some privacy. After all, the United States, he said, would never agree to open up its defense establishment to foreigners like this. I read that and thought again of the moral equivalence that is so widespread in this age of non-belief and its resurgence of paganism. The American spokesman sounded as if he judged Iran and America to be similar cultures. America, in his mind, I guess, is not the good guys, and the Iranians are not the bad guys. It's as if Iran was not the world's number one state purveyor of terrorist atrocities. It is the so-called postmodernist relativism at work, which may be just pseudo-intellectual double talk for being unable to tell right from wrong. This agreement is going to provide Iran with billions of dollars. And I guess we are to believe that the Iranians will put all of this windfall to humanitarian and peaceful purposes. The P5 plus one countries, one assumes, believe that Iran will not use this windfall to further their A-bomb program or funnel any of it to Hezbollah and Hamas to Jew kill. There's a sickness and a madness loose in the world. In civilization, menaced by barbarians without and acting this way, one imagines the internal confusion in the P5 plus one types, who on the one hand surely do not look forward to a world dominated by Iran and the Muslims, but on the other hand, they're arming Iran with a nuclear weapon that could finish off Hitler's work, as the Arabs say. For sure, the world today does not lack for millions, even billions of people still sick in their heads when it comes to us Jews. Yeah, in the long term, Iran can be a threat to the whole world, but in the short term, thoughts of obliterating Israel surely warms the cockles of many hearts, starting with Barack Hussein Obama, and a pathological percentage of Europeans and Russians and Chinese, still officially communist, and students of Karl Marx, one of the greatest Jew haters in history. And as for the possibility of the U.S. Congress jamming the wheels of this evil juggernaut targeting Israel, and ultimately the U.S., the country that Obama hates too, Britt Hume today on Fox said that all Obama needs, given his definition of what he is doing, is yet another executive offer, not a treaty Congress has to approve. All he needs to have for support is one-third of either house plus one. And that's disturbing. He does not need a majority in either house, or even both houses. All he needs is one-third plus one in one of the houses, which calls to mind the recent report last week of Frank Luns, the American Jewish pollster, who painted a gloomy picture of contemporary Democrats. In the 20th century, we all know most Jews were Democrats. That was their home party, along with their so-called ethnics, the Catholic Italians and Irish and Polish and the Negroes, while the Republicans were another country of white-bred Protestants hostile to Jews and Negroes. But that was then, and this is now, and if Luntz's polling is right, if hostility to Israel is as high among Democrats as he says, the picture is not bright. Last week he found that three-quarters of highly educated, high-income, publicly active Democrats, the so-called opinion elites, believe Israel has too much influence on U.S. policy. And almost half of them think Israel is a racist country, and fewer than half think Israel wants peace with its neighbors. This is classical anti-Jew intellection. In any case, as John Bolton pointed out yesterday, all Congress, in the best case scenario, can do is maintain the American embargo and sanctions on Iran, but do nothing to prevent Obama in the Security Council at the UN from voting with a majority to remove UN sanctions. We live in interesting times.
Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem Oseh shamayim va'aretz Al yiten lamot raglecha Al yanum shomrecha Hine lo yanum
yanum
velo yishan shomer Israel Hashem shomrecha Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka veyareach balayla Hashem ishmorcha mikol ra ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם שיר למעלות אשא עיניי אל הערים מאין יבוא עזרי עזרי עושה שמיים וארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך אל ינום שומריך הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומריך השם צילך על יד ימיניך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך השם צילך על יד ימיניך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. In Israel today, one of the annoying facets of the Vienna story was the reaction of the political opposition. No class, as usual. Bougie Herzog and I think Yair Lapid badmouth the prime minister for allowing this agreement to happen. I think this is another case of provincial Israelis not understanding the larger world. There are forces at work, the Prime Minister of Israel, and indeed the whole of the society, is helpless to do anything about. These are the dopes who think U.S.-Israel relations are bad because Bibi does not know how to be nice to the imam in the Oval Office. They have no sense of the depths of this man's wickedness and his age-old, really timeless Jew hatred. Also, lacking class, they don't know that now is a time not to criticize the prime minister, but line up shoulder to shoulder with him. Related to this provincialism is the leftist propensity here to see the so-called Palestinians as victims of Israel, whose hostility is therefore understandable and really curable by Israel when Israelis begin being nice to the ancient ones. Take, for example, what happened last Friday in Ramallah, when the commander of the Judean Samaria Division's Binyamin Brigade, Colonel Israel Shomel, was the target of attempted murder. Evidently, he was motoring in his car near Aram, which is just on the edge of Ramallah, on his way to the Kalandia checkpoint, whose vehicle was pelted with rocks, one of which struck a bullseye when it hit the windshield right in front of his face and shattered it. The colonel jumped out of his car, fired warning shots at his assailants, who turned to run and kept running, at which point he shot one of them in the back and killed him. One Muhammad al-Kasba, the name is, the same age, really, as his forebear Ishmael the Wild Ass of a man when expelled from his kind father's tents, age 17. Subsequent to the attempted murder and successful self-defense, the Jewish anti-Jew cult called B'Tselem later produced a blurry video of some of the action to prove that the colonel had fired when he was not in danger. That is, after the rock throwers had started to run. And so B'Tselem wants to see legal proceedings against the officer for firing when he was in no danger, as regulations require. To which I say, this is one sick response. I have had my windshield shattered by Arabs in pretty much the same way, and it is one terrifying experience. I never saw the object coming. I never saw the one who threw it. I was unarmed and not even a citizen at the time. Today, though, I would wish the colonel did. This was attempted murder. And if the colonel had not killed this barbarian as he did, the colonel would be responsible for the man's next and, God forbid, rock-throwing attack that this does kill someone. It would have been immoral for the colonel not to shoot, to kill as he did. Or are we to institute the protocol according to which an Ishmaelite can attempt to murder a Jew with a rock like this, but then if he turns around, the Jew can't do nothing. If he turns his back, the Jews, even if armed, cannot shoot. This should be, according to B'Tselem, the rules of the game. I say, as they say in New York, forget about it.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin ot deshe ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינהלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במעג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עמדי שבתך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורי נשענת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים מזמור לדוד השם רואי לא יחסר בנאות דשא ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינהלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במעג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא יירר כי אתה עמדי תנאי ננאי נאי ננאי ננאי תנאי ננאי ננאי נאי ננאי 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 תנאי ננאי 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 תנאי ננאי ננאי תנאי ננאי 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 Da na 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 Ta da
da Shivtecha u'mishantecha
Ta na na
Kema yenachamuni
Ta na 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 Ta'aruch lefanai
Shulchan neged tzorai
Nishanta b'shemen roshi Kosi revaya אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי
ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים
אוי לאורך ימים דנאי ננאי 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 דנאי ננאי ננאי דנאי ננאי 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 אתה עמדי אתה עמדי אתה עמדי אתה עמדי
Well, we shall see tomorrow many more reactions here in Israel and worldwide to this stunning turn of events. One can only hope the Congress of the United States overwhelmingly beats back this initiative by the president and, in addition, passes some kind of resolution declaring that if this character orders his ambassadress at the UN to vote in the UN Security Council against Israel, the Congress of the United States will declare the decision to be null and void. Until Thursday, God willing. Laila tov, Meretz Yisrael.